You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The supposed alternative to the insane, Jew-subservient, anti-white Democratic administration is also anti-white, also insane, also Jew-subservient, and not an alternative. The Republicans are sure death for us, just as much as the Democrats. The only choice for white people now is to build our own all-white, real-world, racially conscious communities, as the National Alliance is doing now, and work for the day when we can totally secede from the blancos, the voracious brown mass they force on us, and their Semitic overlords. Every second our people spend working for, hoping for, or talking about a Trump victory is a second we could have spent working for the white imperium to come. Do you really want your legacy to be that you came into serious racial community building just a bit too late to make our success happen? Or that your lack of serious commitment helped ruin your children's future? Do you want your legacy to be that you helped elect a president who was instrumental in criminalizing white racial nationalism and setting us back for decades? I didn't think so. Trump, to my knowledge, is the first American politician in recent years to explicitly call for the death penalty for anti-Semitism, a legal nicety that was last in force in the early years of the Soviet Union. In the wake of a lone gunman shooting up a synagogue in 2018, Trump addressed a rally in, of all places, southern Illinois, saying this.
This evil anti-Semitic attack is an assault on all of us. It's an assault on humanity. It will require all of us working together to extract the hateful poison of anti-Semitism from our world. This was an anti-Semitic attack at its worst. The scourge of anti-Semitism cannot be ignored, cannot be tolerated, and it cannot be allowed to continue. We can't allow it to continue. It must be confronted and condemned everywhere it rears its very ugly head. We must stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to defeat anti-Semitism and vanquish the forces of hate. That's what it is. Through the centuries, the Jews have endured terrible persecution, and you know that. We've all read it. We've studied it. They've gone through a lot. And those seeking their destruction, we will seek their destruction. Now, when you have crimes like this, whether it's this one or another one on another group, we have to bring back the death penalty. They have to pay the ultimate price. They have to pay the ultimate price. They can't do this. They can't do this to our country. We must draw a line in the sand and say very strongly, never again.
Some of that deserves repeating. Quote, it will require all of us working together to extract the hateful poison of anti-Semitism from our world. The scourge of anti-Semitism cannot be ignored, cannot be tolerated, and it cannot be allowed to continue. We can't allow it to continue. It must be confronted and condemned everywhere it rears its very ugly head. We must stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to defeat anti-Semitism and vanquish the forces of hate. Through the centuries, the Jews have endured terrible persecution, and you know that. We've all read it. We've studied it. They've gone through a lot. And those seeking their destruction, we will seek their destruction. Close quote. And then your great white hero, Knott, invoked the death penalty. In context, one could argue that he's not calling for death for everyone who criticizes Jews or believes we can't live with them on our necks. Or is he? After all, anti-Semitism, quote, cannot be allowed to continue, close quote. And before the rally, Trump told television reporters that, quote, much more needs to be done, close quote, to protect Jews, without specifying what that much more is going to be. A lot of noise has been made on what passes for the left these days about Trump's reaction to the violence surrounding and engulfing the 2017 Unite the Right pro-Confederate Heritage rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, the year before. At the time, Trump said that there were, quote, good people on both sides, close quote, in the conflict, a statement which still evokes rage among Stalinist left conformists who see even the slightest resistance to the anti-white regime and narrative as pure evil, with the P and D capitalized. But really, was that statement some great sign that Trump is secretly on our side but just can't come out and openly say so? Hardly. He was saying, after all, that some of the people who came to throw urine bombs on pro-heritage demonstrators and assault them with improvised flamethrowers and the like were good people. And by using the word some, he was weaseling just enough so that both wishful thinkers and hateful thinkers on both sides could extract any meaning they liked from his words. In the light of subsequent statements, I doubt that Trump included any of the brave men who marched to the accompaniment of "Jews will not replace us" the night before in those good people. And did Trump do one single thing or make even one single statement to help James Alex Fields out of his plight of being railroaded into a first-degree premeditated murder conviction when no murder ever took place? When Fields never saw or even knew of the alleged victim? When Fields' car never struck the supposed victim, but only accidentally struck a second car? And when the second car also never struck the alleged victim, but struck instead a third car, which allegedly struck her, and even that is debatable. Did Trump say or do anything about that at the time? Did he do or say anything months later when innocent Fields was falsely convicted and sentenced to more than four centuries in prison? Did he do or say anything to help the other innocent Americans charged for defending themselves against anti-white violence and running afoul of the crooked police setup to cause that violence? Truth be told, Trump is effectively anti-white. Again and again, he highlights blacks or other non-whites as American heroes or objects of promised taxpayer largesse, as with his platinum plan to give billions of dollars to Negroes because they are Negroes. He leaves office with a flourish of pardons for black and Jewish criminals, but no pardons, no exonerations for racially conscious whites. In fact, white Americans may as well not exist as far as Trump is concerned. After all, they're so gullible, he has their votes guaranteed anyway. Plus, they have nowhere else to go in the political sandbox the Jews allow us to play in. If the expressions white people, or white Americans, or white men, or white women ever crossed his lips even once, I never heard about it. And if they had, you know for sure that the Jew-controlled media wouldn't stop screaming about it for months or years on end. In response to those who've suggested to me that Trump just had to say that to placate the Jews at an emotional moment, let me point out that much later in Trump's administration, his Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was doing this, according to a U.S. State Department official press release. Quote, Secretary of State Michael R. Pompeo will host and deliver opening remarks during the first ever U.S. government conference focused on combating online anti-Semitism. Organized by the Office of the Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism, the virtual conference aims to explore the threats posed by anti-Semitism on the internet and social media, and to consider practical responses for governments and civil society. The conference, titled Ancient Hatred, Modern Medium, will be on the record and shown virtually on the State Department website on October 21 and 22 from 1 p.m. to approximately 4 p.m. EDT. According to Secretary Pompeo, U.S. government presenters will include Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, Senator James Lankford, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Antisemitism Elon Carr, and Special Envoy for Holocaust Issues Cherry Daniels. The presentations will feature foreign leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Minister Orit Farkash Har-Cohen of Israel, Minister Michael Gove of the United Kingdom, Federal National Council member Dr. Ali Al-Nuami of the United Arab Emirates, International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance President Ambassador Michaela Kukler, European Commission Coordinator on Combating Antisemitism Katharina von Schnurbein, and U.S. Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion or Belief Dr. Ahmed Shahid. Also presenting will be representatives of social media platforms and leaders from religious communities, civil society, and academia. For further information, please contact the Office of Press Relations or the Assistant Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Antisemitism, Ephraim Cohen. Close quote. That's just one event, one effort out of thousands made by the Trump administration to serve Jews and fight white racists and others who would prefer to have a government not under Jewish supervision. Trump gave Israel more money and weapons than ever. That after the previous administration had already set a record in that regard, gave them American support for their claim of Jerusalem as their capital city, gave massive amounts of money for quote-unquote security for synagogues and Jewish organizations, the very organizations that are committing genocide on our people. Trump sent horrific firebombs down on the Jews' enemies in the Middle East again and again, continuing the secret drone warfare that mostly stays off our television screens and overtly in Syria and Iran. As John I. Johnson put it on National Vanguard back in 2016 during Trump's first presidential run, quote, "If Trump becomes president, there will be no mass deportations of illegals, and only illegals, mind you, even with a big, beautiful door to immediately let them all back in again, since that would be utterly ridiculous. I'm confident no wall will be built either. But if it is, the flood of non-white replacement immigrants will miraculously keep expanding exponentially anyway. The worldwide coup de grace to our race is being administered right now. Not centuries from now. Not decades from now. Not by 2040. Right now. And it is intentional." Close quote. Was the wall ever built? Some impressive structures were constructed, but they and the extensive parts of the border where, for some reason, neither a wall nor a fence was ever built, are routinely breached, and were breached also during the Trump administration. Trump, as if he even needed the lesson, has had his face bashed against the pavement enough times now so that he knows not to impede the Jewish agenda by so much as a bleached blonde hair. And Elon Musk was forced to attend the same Jewish school more recently. Don't get uppity, Mr. President, Mr. World's Richest Man. We really run things, and your race is slated for genocide, and it is the crime of all crimes to oppose that. As Mr. Johnson expected, the brown tide kept flowing and keeps on flowing into the United States, leaving our race ever more powerless, ever more endangered, ever closer to effective extinction. As Mr. Johnson has subsequently said, Trump is, quote, "an evil man in an evil time." No surprise to me, though. Close quote. There is no one to save us, and no way to save us under the present system that exists in the United States. We must create our own system, our own new nation. We must start by forming our own local communities and build from there. That is what the National Alliance is doing. Join us and support us today. Don't waste an instant of your life or an iota of your resources on a system that is rigged to ensure our death.
Is there a count somewhere?
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. So now, instead of "We Stand With Israel, Joe Biden," the anti-white Democratic Party is almost certainly fielding ironclad commitment to Israel, Kamala Harris, a mixed-race female who is married to a Jew, to oppose the anti-white Republicans' choice, "No one has done more for Israel and the Jews than I have," Donald Trump, whose grandchildren are Jewish, and who is so proud that his daughter married big winner Jared Kushner, a New York Jew who is a real estate tycoon, as is Trump, whose father was in the same business but got caught paying off one too many politicians and was in prison until Trump pardoned him. Both Harris and Trump were very busy this week, meeting with Israeli leader and ongoing butcher of tens of thousands in the Gaza killing fields, Benjamin Netanyahu, who also addressed a joint session of Congress as he trolled U.S. power centers looking for more billions in weapons, dollars, and commitments. The controlled media seldom mention this, but there are a lot of countries where Netanyahu can't land because he has an International Criminal Court arrest warrant out for him for all the war crimes he's committed in the last 9 months. Trump told Netanyahu that if elected, he would continue to give the Jewish state so much that he, quote, didn't see how a Jewish person could vote Democrat, close quote. Trump also ominously said that he would take steps to put an end to anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses. Just one of a long series of repeated declarations from Trump that criticism of Jews would be somehow ended in the United States under a Trump administration. While president, Trump did already sign a bill forbidding federal funding to any colleges or schools that permit any groups or activities that Jews don't like. Despite this, there is no place in the U.S. where the Jewish state is more strongly criticized than on college campuses today. And clearly, both Trump and Netanyahu want to put an end to that. The First Amendment be damned. Harris stated, quote, "The U.S.-Israel relationship is unbreakable and enduring," close quote, and, quote, "The United States will always stand with Israel," close quote, and, quote, "Our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad," close quote. Netanyahu gave us a very rare display of gratitude during his meeting with Harris's nominal boss, Joe Biden, saying of his loyal servant, quote, "From a proud Jew Zionist to a proud Irish American Zionist, I want to thank you for 50 years of public service and 50 years of support for the State of Israel," close quote. So, it sounds like business as usual in Washington. The Jews own the money machine and the media machine that control the fraud called American democracy. So the Jews get anything they want, almost, even as they forcibly evict a whole people from their own homeland, gun down children, and murder innocent families en masse for decade after decade, displacing millions, starving millions, firebombing whole cities into ashes, and killing tens of thousands in the last 9 months alone. But there are cracks appearing in their regime of exploitation and oppression. As is usual for them, they just can't restrain their hate and bloodlust and anger and evil. So they go too far. Even former allies like the Browns and Blacks they weaponized against whites mostly can't abide what they've done to the Palestinians. And hundreds of thousands of whites, formerly of the left or the right, are coming to realize that it is the international Jews who are behind the effort to silence dissent in the West. Behind the debasement of our currency and the increasing impoverishment of white working people. Behind the war on white people that is rapidly replacing the founding stock of this nation. And behind the aggressive push to glorify and promote every form of sexual degeneracy under the sun, so long as it tends to reduce the number of white children being born. This growing awakening to the reality of Jewish power and to the rank toxicity of Jewish power and to the malevolence of the Jewish power structure has now entered the political mainstream. It may seem like just an undercurrent, but it is real. And undercurrents have a way of undermining even huge mountains and making them crumble away in an instant when you least expect it. Fact. Jew-loving, overtly Israel-loving, and married to a Jew, Harris, was forced by the political reality of her base to criticize Netanyahu and his bloody war moments after meeting him, and additionally felt obligated to say, quote, "I hear you," close quote, and, quote, "I understand your concerns," close quote, to those who have been calling for Netanyahu's arrest and chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free," in their effort to utterly defeat and reverse the Jewish state's conquests in the Middle East. Even Jew-loving and overtly Israel-loving, "We must eliminate Hamas and anti-Semitism," Trump was forced to say that Netanyahu's murder spree has, quote, "gone on too long," close quote, and needs to end. Weak words, to be sure, but a few years ago, even those weak words would have been unthinkable. Things have changed. Trump even appeared annoyed at the end of their meeting when Netanyahu failed to give him a campaign-boosting ceasefire commitment as a result of their talk. And when Netanyahu extended his hand as they stood up, obviously looking for a handshake, Trump just looked off into the middle distance and walked off stage. Another crack in the system is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the biggest challenge ever seen to the fraudulent Jewish money system that has ruled the West for more than a century, a system that allows Jews to essentially print money and give it to themselves. No wonder they succeed so much. But Bitcoin was specifically designed to put an end to that financial system and replace it with an immutable public ledger that cannot be faked. Protected by the most massive cryptographic wall of computing power ever assembled on this earth. And it replaces fake Jewish money with new money that cannot be manipulated. As such, it was mocked and hated and derided and falsely accused of being a Ponzi scheme and facilitating crime by the Jews in power and in the media for more than 10 years. Of course, they were lying, as usual. It's the current financial system that's a Ponzi scheme, and it's the current financial system that facilitates the crimes of the century. But as more and more of the most intelligent people adopted Bitcoin, and as it grew from a novelty and a dream worth a fraction of a cent, to become in just a decade or so a totally new kind of asset with a value not in the millions or billions, but trillions, the Jews, and many others in the establishment have been forced to adopt it, kicking and screaming outwardly or inwardly, to be sure, but adopting it still. So many members of the establishment, realizing more than anybody that the existing financial system is a failure that was bound to implode and hurt even them someday, have quietly adopted Bitcoin too. There are now too many of them. They are everywhere, inside every government agency, inside every large corporation, at every level of power. Bitcoin is now held in spot ETFs on the stock exchanges. There will be no ban. They're not going to ban their own financial future. The war against usury will be won now. That is certain, though most Americans never knew there was such a war. Our bureaucrats and regulators also have the example of China to ponder, possibly the strongest and most authoritarian government in the world. Has banned Bitcoin 6 times now in various ways, including banning Bitcoin mining. But all the bans failed, and a large percentage of BTC mining is now done there again, and the ban is simply not enforced. The BTC network is just too resilient and powerful. Even state-level actors can't turn it off. India's example is similar, and there are others. Bitcoin has been made legal tender in El Salvador against the explicit wishes of the Jews International Monetary Fund, who have proven powerless to stop them. And there are special Bitcoin neighborhoods and Bitcoin favorable laws and jurisdictions in a dozen countries around the world, including Lugano, Switzerland. Many Jews, realizing that Bitcoin is the future, have started accumulating it in large amounts so that they will have a good financial position as the new world emerges. But proportionally, I am sure that there still will be a shift in power toward non-Jews as the new landscape is formed. Trump, who knows basically nothing of Bitcoin and loves the fraudulent dollar system, which has been very good to him, has been forced by political realities to support the new freedom money and will even be speaking at a Bitcoin conference this week in Nashville, as will his rival Robert Kennedy. It's rumored that J.D. Vance owns 5 or 6 bitcoins himself. Trump has been considering establishing a U.S. strategic bitcoin reserve and has called for the U.S. to become the overwhelming leader in BTC mining. Kennedy has called for backing the dollar with bitcoin. Harris negotiated for a while about speaking at the same Bitcoin event, but finally declined. So the system that the Jews have established has some pretty big cracks in its foundation. Let's encourage those cracks to widen. That will not be done by wasting your life in the party politics sandbox. That will be done by building new communities and making those communities successful and powerful. I can't stand either Harris or Trump, and I hate to give the impression that I or the National Alliance think elections are a major concern. They aren't. But I really would like to be able to read the minds of creatures like Trump and Harris and Vance. How much do they really love Israel and Jews and the Jewish agenda? Sometimes I suspect that no one does, not even Jews. And how much is just fakery to advance themselves. I am sure we'll never know for certain, but one thing is sure. If we set the stage for our own future success and the exponentially increasing success of our children and grandchildren in the all-white communities that the National Alliance is building, then someday there will be politicians who will, by the raw necessity of needing to please us to survive as leaders, will be required to support us, fund us, accommodate us, make policy that favors us, and use the power of the state to protect us. That is something we can accomplish. That is something that we must accomplish before it's too late. And paying too much attention to the latest election hullabaloo is a distraction from that important goal. The Jews have made it impossible with their massive non-white immigration and media control, which gives them control of the major parties, for whites to save themselves via elections. So forget elections and concentrate on what will work. Community will work. Solidarity will work. An unbreakable will based on a new race-based spirituality will work. So let's get to work.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. So now, instead of "We Stand With Israel, Joe Biden," the anti-white Democratic Party is almost certainly fielding ironclad commitment to Israel, Kamala Harris, a mixed-race female who is married to a Jew, to oppose the anti-white Republicans' choice, "No one has done more for Israel and the Jews than I have," Donald Trump, whose grandchildren are Jewish, and who is so proud that his daughter married big winner Jared Kushner, a New York Jew who is a real estate tycoon, as is Trump, whose father was in the same business but got caught paying off one too many politicians and was in prison until Trump pardoned him. Both Harris and Trump were very busy this week, meeting with Israeli leader and ongoing butcher of tens of thousands in the Gaza killing fields, Benjamin Netanyahu, who also addressed a joint session of Congress as he trolled U.S. power centers looking for more billions in weapons, dollars, and commitments. The controlled media seldom mention this, but there are a lot of countries where Netanyahu can't land because he has an International Criminal Court arrest warrant out for him for all the war crimes he's committed in the last 9 months. Trump told Netanyahu that if elected, he would continue to give the Jewish state so much that he, quote, "didn't see how a Jewish person could vote Democrat," close quote. Trump also ominously said that he would take steps to put an end to anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses. Just one of a long series of repeated declarations from Trump that criticism of Jews would be somehow ended in the United States under a Trump administration. While president, Trump did already sign a bill forbidding federal funding to any colleges or schools that permit any groups or activities that Jews don't like. Despite this, there is no place in the U.S. where the Jewish state is more strongly criticized than on college campuses today. And clearly, both Trump and Netanyahu want to put an end to that. The First Amendment be damned. Harris stated, quote, "The U.S.-Israel relationship is unbreakable and enduring," close quote. And, quote, "The United States will always stand with Israel," close quote. And, quote, "Our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad," close quote. Netanyahu gave us a very rare display of gratitude during his meeting with Harris's nominal boss, Joe Biden, saying of his loyal servant, quote, "From a proud Jew Zionist to a proud Irish American Zionist, I want to thank you for 50 years of public service and 50 years of support for the State of Israel," close quote. So, it sounds like business as usual in Washington. The Jews own the money machine and the media machine that control the fraud called American democracy. So the Jews get anything they want, almost, even as they forcibly evict a whole people from their own homeland, gun down children, and murder innocent families en masse for decade after decade, displacing millions, starving millions, firebombing whole cities into ashes, and killing tens of thousands in the last 9 months alone. But there are cracks appearing in their regime of exploitation and oppression. As is usual for them, they just can't restrain their hate and bloodlust and anger and evil. So they go too far. Even former allies like the Browns and Blacks they weaponized against whites mostly can't abide what they've done to the Palestinians. And hundreds of thousands of whites, formerly of the left or the right, are coming to realize that it is the international Jews who are behind the effort to silence dissent in the West, behind the debasement of our currency and the increasing impoverishment of white working people, behind the war on white people that is rapidly replacing the founding stock of this nation, and behind the aggressive push to glorify and promote every form of sexual degeneracy under the sun, so long as it tends to reduce the number of white children being born. This growing awakening to the reality of Jewish power and to the rank toxicity of Jewish power and to the malevolence of the Jewish power structure has now entered the political mainstream. It may seem like just an undercurrent, but it is real. And undercurrents have a way of undermining even huge mountains and making them crumble away in an instant when you least expect it. Fact. Jew-loving, overtly Israel-loving, and married to a Jew, Harris, was forced by the political reality of her base to criticize Netanyahu and his bloody war moments after meeting him, and additionally felt obligated to say, quote, "I hear you," close quote, and, quote, "I understand your concerns," close quote, to those who have been calling for Netanyahu's arrest and chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free," in their effort to utterly defeat and reverse the Jewish state's conquests in the Middle East. Even Jew-loving and overtly Israel-loving, we must eliminate Hamas and anti-Semitism, Trump, was forced to say that Netanyahu's murder spree has, quote, gone on too long, close quote, and needs to end. Weak words, to be sure, but a few years ago, even those weak words would have been unthinkable. Things have changed. Trump even appeared annoyed at the end of their meeting when Netanyahu failed to give him a campaign-boosting ceasefire commitment as a result of their talk. And when Netanyahu extended his hand as they stood up, obviously looking for a handshake, Trump just looked off into the middle distance and walked off stage. Another crack in the system is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the biggest challenge ever seen to the fraudulent Jewish money system that has ruled the West for more than a century. A system that allows Jews to essentially print money and give it to themselves. No wonder they succeed so much. But Bitcoin was specifically designed to put an end to that financial system and replace it with an immutable public ledger that cannot be faked. Protected by the most massive cryptographic wall of computing power ever assembled on this earth. And it replaces fake Jewish money with new money that cannot be manipulated. As such, it was mocked and hated and derided and falsely accused of being a Ponzi scheme and facilitating crime by the Jews in power and in the media for more than 10 years. Of course, they were lying, as usual. It's the current financial system that's a Ponzi scheme, and it's the current financial system that facilitates the crimes of the century. But as more and more of the most intelligent people adopted Bitcoin, and as it grew from a novelty and a dream worth a fraction of a cent, to become in just a decade or so a totally new kind of asset with a value not in the millions or billions, but trillions. The Jews and many others in the establishment have been forced to adopt it, kicking and screaming outwardly or inwardly, to be sure, but adopting it still. So many members of the establishment, realizing more than anybody that the existing financial system is a failure that was bound to implode and hurt even them someday, have quietly adopted Bitcoin too. There are now too many of them. They are everywhere. Inside every government agency, inside every large corporation, at every level of power. Bitcoin is now held in spot ETFs on the stock exchanges. There will be no ban. They're not going to ban their own financial future. The war against usury will be won now. That is certain, though most Americans never knew there was such a war. Our bureaucrats and regulators also have the example of China to ponder, possibly the strongest and most authoritarian government in the world, has banned Bitcoin 6 times now in various ways, including banning Bitcoin mining. But all the bans failed, and a large percentage of BTC mining is now done there again, and the ban is simply not enforced. The BTC network is just too resilient and powerful. Even state-level actors can't turn it off. India's example is similar, and there are others. Bitcoin has been made legal tender in El Salvador against the explicit wishes of the Jews' International Monetary Fund, who have proven powerless to stop them. And there are special Bitcoin neighborhoods and Bitcoin favorable laws and jurisdictions in a dozen countries around the world, including Lugano, Switzerland. Many Jews, realizing that Bitcoin is the future, have started accumulating it in large amounts so that they will have a good financial position as the new world emerges. But proportionally, I am sure that there still will be a shift in power toward non-Jews as the new landscape is formed. Trump, who knows basically nothing of Bitcoin and loves the fraudulent dollar system, which has been very good to him, has been forced by political realities to support the new freedom money and will even be speaking at a Bitcoin conference this week in Nashville, as will his rival Robert Kennedy. It's rumored that J.D. Vance owns 5 or 6 bitcoins himself. Trump has been considering establishing a U.S. strategic bitcoin reserve and has called for the U.S. to become the overwhelming leader in BTC mining. Kennedy has called for backing the dollar with bitcoin. Harris negotiated for a while about speaking at the same Bitcoin event, but finally declined. So the system that the Jews have established has some pretty big cracks in its foundation. Let's encourage those cracks to widen. That will not be done by wasting your life in the party politics sandbox. That will be done by building new communities and making those communities successful and powerful. I can't stand either Harris or Trump, and I hate to give the impression that I or the National Alliance think elections are a major concern. They aren't. But I really would like to be able to read the minds of creatures like Trump and Harris and Vance. How much do they really love Israel and Jews and the Jewish agenda? Sometimes I suspect that no one does, not even Jews. And how much is just fakery to advance themselves? I am sure we'll never know for certain. But one thing is sure. If we set the stage for our own future success and the exponentially increasing success of our children and grandchildren in the all-white communities that the National Alliance is building, then someday there will be politicians who will, by the raw necessity of needing to please us to survive as leaders, will be required to support us, fund us, accommodate us, make policy that favors us, and use the power of the state to protect us. That is something we can accomplish. That is something that we must accomplish before it's too late. And paying too much attention to the latest election hullabaloo is a distraction from that important goal. The Jews have made it impossible with their massive non-white immigration and media control, which gives them control of the major parties, for whites to save themselves via elections. So forget elections and concentrate on what will work. Community will work. Solidarity will work. An unbreakable will based on a new race-based spirituality will work. So let's get to work.
Great on hills where
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Resolutionrdo.com.